The following noon the mighty army of Egypt camped below the high plateau where the sandy desert and the dry lands ended. They had almost completed the crossing, and tomorrow they would go through the pass into the cooler lands, where the oases were only a day's journey apart, where forests and fields and vineyards grew, and mountain streams flowed all year round. When the escort of the royal wives began to set up camp for the day, they found that the young Queen Merikara was fractious and overbearing, not at all her usual sweet and gracious self. She wanted her own tent set further apart from that of her sister, Queen Heseret, and when this was done, she insisted that they move the carts that carried the army war chests down into a narrow wadi 200 paces from the main encampment. In vain the commander of the guard pointed out that the bed of the wadi was soft and sandy, and the wheels of their heavy vehicles would sink in deeply. "I don't care if they disappear into the sand completely," she told him. "I'm sick of looking at those ugly carts and listening to the mooing of the bullocks. Get them out of my sight." The commander thought of appealing to Pharaoh Narjakiafan to ratify this unreasonable order from his youngest wife. Then he contemplated the fact that the column was spread out over almost 4 leagues of desert. It would take an hour of hard riding to reach the Pharaoh at its head, and the return ride would be just as arduous. The day was even hotter than those that had preceded it, and besides, he had a tryst with one of Merikara's slave girls, an enchanting little black Nubian who knew more tricks than a performing monkey. He moved the carts into the wadi bottom, and, as a sop to his conscience, doubled the guard upon them. Having got her own way, Merikara became once again the endearing girl they all loved so well. "I'm so sorry I was hard on you, Moram. It must be this awful heat that affects us all," she told the commander of the guard sweetly in front of his men. "I'm going to have Misha bring you 5 jars of the finest beer from my private stores to make it up to you. But be certain that you share it equally with all your men, for I've given them extra work and trouble too." Misha, the statuesque Nubian maid, with an imperious carriage and a legendary pair of buttocks, brought the beer jars to Moram's tent, and the men lined up to receive their share, calling down the gods' blessings on Queen Merikara, and toasting her health as they swigged down the first draught of the frothing liquor. Despite his promise to Merikara, the beer was of such surpassing excellence that Moram drank more than his share. As soon as they were alone in his tent, he pounced on Misha, who, squealing and resisting playfully, finally allowed him to lift her clothing and unveil her prodigious buttocks. They sprang out from under her short linen skirts, shining black as new-mined anthracite, great quivering rounds, dark full moons that overflowed his clutching hands. In a transport of lust he mounted her, but after less than a dozen mighty thrusts, he keeled over slowly, fast asleep before he reached the floor. Misha stared at him in astonishment. Nothing like this had ever happened to her in all her short but busy lifetime. Moram let out a snore that reverberated like distant thunder, and she sprang to her feet, pulled on her skirt, delivered one furious kick to his sleeping form, and stormed out of the tent back to her mistress. The guard at the entrance to the royal tent was also sleeping like a dead man. "All men are pigs," Misha said in her savage native tongue, and kicked him with all the strength of her long and shapely right leg.